Praise the Lord. I wonder if anybody knows who famous, this is a famous person, so nobody here, was born in Kiosko, Mississippi. You don't know? No, I said somebody famous and not anybody. No, nobody here is famous. You don't know. It's a she. Does that help anybody? She was born in Kiosko, Mississippi in 1954. Maybe you've heard of her. Maybe you haven't heard of her. Her house is still there, and I've never been there. But if you go to Kiosko, Mississippi, you can go see this house, and there's a plaque in front of it. This is where Oprah Winfrey was born, in 1954. Now, I don't have a lot in common with Oprah. I don't think she agrees a whole lot with what I say, and I don't think I agree with what she says, although I haven't listened to her too much, so I don't know. And she's never listened to me, so I don't know about that either. But she was born to an unwed teenager many years ago, 60 years ago. Her mother was 14 years old when Oprah Winfrey was born. You know, let me just tell you the rest of the story. She couldn't be raised by her mother. Her mother was not fit to be a mother. And her mother needed a mother herself. And so the grandma took Oprah in to raise her there in that little town in Mississippi. And for the first 6 years of her life, Oprah Winfrey was raised by her grandma in abject poverty. It's not what you think of when you think of Oprah Winfrey today. She's a billionaire, but she wasn't always. And she started out in that situation. It's told that she would wear as dresses potato sacks. I don't know. I did races in potato sacks. I put them on this way, but I guess you cut a hole in the head and a few holes for the sleeves, and that's often what she would go out in, potato sacks, dressed like that. But this was the interesting part to me, and this is why I'm telling you the story. At the age of 3, she was able to quote Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse. When I heard that part of the story, the first thought I had was, Lord, let those words that went into her heart when she was 3, let them somehow or other take root and convict her when she's 60. Help her to come to know you as her Lord and as her Savior. But be that as it may, she was at 3 years old. She was quoting Bible verses and reciting Bible verses. When she hit the ripe old age of 6, her real mother came and wanted her back, and so took Oprah from the grandma and brought her to Milwaukee in Wisconsin and raised her there in Milwaukee. At the age of 9, Oprah was abused and molested by her uncle, by her cousin. And she put up with that for 3 years of her life. And when she was 13 years of age, she ran away from home because she just had to. She couldn't take it anymore. She couldn't take her home, her situation, her mother, the lifestyle that was going on, and so on. When she was 14, she herself became pregnant. You say, well, I didn't know she had a baby. She didn't. She miscarried that child. But that's the beginning of this famous person, who is probably known all over the world, and certainly I think even though we probably don't follow her too much or know very much about her, we've all probably heard that name. She was asked one time, how is it that you, in the start that you had, in the life that you had, with the beginning that you had, and all that you've been through, how is it that you could now have turned it around and now become one of the most famous? One magazine calls her the most influential woman in America. How is that possible that you could go from abject poverty and now you're a billionaire? How is it that you could go from being what you were to now being known by everybody, and unfortunately some people even want to emulate who she is? How is that possible? And this is her words, and I wrote them down because I wanted to get it right. She said, at age 3, I was called the preacher because of all the Bible verses that I knew. And I never quit preaching to myself. I kept on thinking big. What God intended for me was beyond anything that I could have ever imagined. Now, I think she's got something's wrong with her whole theology there, but there's a principle there and there's a truth there that I would just like to call to your attention tonight. And it is in the Bible. And if you open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13, I think it's verses 5 and 6 in Hebrews chapter 13. I was thinking big. I was thinking bigger than what it is that I have all around me, that I find myself in. I knew that God intended something more. You know, I don't know everybody here very well. I got the staff list. You girls, I'm never going to figure you out. I never could figure a woman out anyway. But your names, and I mean, not that they're difficult, but I don't know. So I'm going to give you all numbers. Just don't change your seats, because then they'll throw me off. And you guys, I at least got a handle on some of you, so that'll be a little easier and better. But Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. God has something bigger, better in store for you, perhaps, than what you could even imagine. I guess the Bible verse for that's not Hebrews 13, but there's one in Ephesians 3 where it says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above that which you could ask or think. Now, that's an amazing scripture verse. I mean, it's enough to think God is able to do more than I could think. He can do exceeding abundantly above what you could ask or think. God has, Jeremiah 29, some people like that verse a whole lot. God has a plan for your life, talking to Israel. Maybe we can apply it to ourselves as God's people. I have a plan. I have a future for you. It's not a dead end. It looks like a dead end. It looks like abject poverty. It looks like you'll never amount to anything. It looks like you can never materialize or morph into anything more than you are. After all, I'm this, and I was born this way, and I was born that way, and I've got this against me, and two strikes against me, and the third one's coming right down the path, and I don't know if I can ever get out from under. Well, we've got to start, as Oprah said, I've never stopped preaching to myself. We've got to start preaching the right thing to ourselves. We got to start saying the right thing to ourselves. We've got to get out of the rut sometimes that we get ourselves into, and we've got to get into what the scripture would say. Now, in that verse in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, I will never, the fifth verse, the end part of it, I will never, this is what the Lord says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, so that we can confidently say. Now, who are we saying this to? Maybe to one another, I don't know. But I think we're, first of all, saying it to ourselves. So that we, the Lord said to us, to you, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, never. So that we may boldly or with confidence say. And maybe we should start saying this to ourselves. Anybody here ever preach to themselves? You have? Oh, look at this, all these wannabe preachers. Well, that's good. I'm a wannabe too, and I sometimes preach to myself. Okay, let's forget the preaching part. Did you ever talk to yourself? Yeah. All the time, right? All the time. That's me. Yeah, it's when you answer yourself that you're in trouble. But you talk to yourself. We all probably do. They have an app now. Yeah, anybody got the self app? I tell you, you can get this thing when you're having a lousy day. You can hit the self app and it'll say, you're awesome. And you're going to have an awesome day because you're awesome. I mean, come on. You see, that's the kind of message that some people like to hear preached to them. That's not a good message. There's something that the Bible tells us. We need to believe the Bible, and we need to begin to talk to ourselves and encourage ourselves and admonish ourselves if we have to. And this is one thing that the Bible says. Here's what you say to yourself. The Lord will never leave me nor forsake me, so that we may confidently with boldness say, the Lord is my helper, and I won't be afraid of what man can do or anybody can do to me. Oh, that would be a good thing to go preaching tonight to yourself. When you get back to your room, say, the Lord is never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me, so that I might boldly say, Lord, you're my helper. Lord, you are the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? You're the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And maybe you've got a situation, a circumstance, probably not as bad as Oprah Winfrey's. Maybe worse, I don't know, but maybe not. Every one of us is dealing with something in our lives that maybe is difficult. And we don't think it's possible, and we don't think there's an end to it, and we don't think there's a way out of it, because after all, this is what it got. And I don't know why I got to deal with this, because that's what life is. But Jesus wants to save us from our sin, and he wants to fill us with a hope and a future and a confidence that he's able to do for you. It's not just for him or them or somebody special, but for you. And don't ever stop preaching to yourself. And don't ever stop saying, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is the strength of my life. I can confidently say that the Lord is with me. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Sometimes, again, we get in this, don't let me hear. I'm going to be here a long time. Sorry. All the way to the end of this third period. So you got to stick with me and put up with it. But don't let me hear you, please, staff. Please, don't let me hear you the night before the staff goes home and that last meeting, that Friday night. Don't let me hear you get up and say, I'm so afraid I'm going to go home tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't think I can. I'm going back to, you know, I'm going back to the city. Whoopee-doo. As if God doesn't know that you're in the city and that he's not able to keep. Go back preaching to yourself. Don't say the same stuff. Oh, I don't know. You know, the Lord spoke to the people out in Zion. Maybe Sister Hofflander was there. I don't know. Was it through Sister Robinson or somebody else? And the Lord said to them, your sighing defeats you. Just that, oh, it's so hard. Oh, I can't make it. Oh, I never get poor. Everybody feels sorry for me. Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Yeah, nobody knows my troubles. I'm a this, I'm a that, and I'm a proud, and then I just can't help myself. Let's get over it. Let's not get up and say, oh, I don't think I can make it. Let's get up and say, the Lord is my helper. I don't have to be afraid. The Lord is with me, and he'll never leave me, and he'll never forsake me. And I can boldly say that. Oh, but I'm timid, I'm shy, I'm fearful. There was a man that came from a foreign country. Some of you maybe have come from foreign countries. I don't envy people that come to a different country and have to then try to learn a new language. And this man got a job in the city working as a laborer in a building, cleaning the office building. And he didn't know what to say when he went to a restaurant, the diner. He wanted to get some food. He didn't know how to order. He knew in his own language, but he didn't know in English. And wanted to go there for lunch. And so he'd go there for lunchtime. And his friends taught him what to say. It's very easy. Very easy, just three words. Hamburger, French fries, Coke. So he went to the restaurant and he sat down and the waitress came over. Hamburger, French fries, Coke. That was great. Kind of like supper tonight, I didn't think of it. Where's my Coke? Anyway, hamburger, French fries, but no Coke. But anyway, water. Well, anyway, that's another story. I'll take that up with the office tomorrow. Hamburger, French fries, Coke. And he did this repeatedly, and then his shift changed. And he wasn't able to go there for lunch, so he was going to go there for breakfast now. But he needed new words. He needed some more help. So he asked his friends at work. He said, now, you know, what is it that I say? What do I do? How do I get breakfast at this place? So they said, that's not hard. That's easy, too. Three words. The only thing you got to say is eggs, toast, juice. So he practiced, he got it. He went into the restaurant, he sat down, the waitress came over, what would you like? Eggs, toast, juice. She said, how would you like your eggs? What kind of toast would you like? And what kind of juice would you prefer? Hamburger, French fries, Coke. You know, we're like that too often. That's our default setting. That's where we go back to when we get rattled and when fears come. And we cower in fear. In nothing be terrified by your adversary, Paul says. In nothing. Why not? Well, I don't have to be afraid of the battle because the Lord is with me. And I can boldly say in the middle of the conflict, the Lord is my helper. I don't have to fear what anybody's going to do to me. The Lord is the strength of my life. And that's something that we need to learn to preach to ourselves. Not just that, but that's one good thing that we can say over and over. And if he's with me, who can be against me? If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we need to preach these things to ourselves because we default and go back to hamburger, French fries, and Coke. I can't, I'm not able, I'm no good, I'm not the way I should be. And the enemy will help you and fill your mind with all those thoughts. And Jesus says, no, I tell you, I want to make your life over anew, and I want to make you a trophy of my grace, and I can do exceeding abundantly above all that you could even ask or think. By my power that's working in you, by my grace divine. Oh, thank God, he will never, ever leave us. He will never forsake us, the songwriter says, while we live by faith and do his blessed will. And so God, help every one of us to get past and to be able to, well, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, it's the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, now guys, I'm going to go, but I want to send you. I'm going to send you into all the world to preach to God. I wonder how many times those disciples were back to hamburger, French fries, and Coke. I wonder how many times they felt inadequate and I can't do this. The Lord said, I want to go to the uttermost parts of the world. Teach, preach, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I am with you always. You know, Jesus never went to all the uttermost parts of the earth. He went up to Galilee, went back down to Judea, went through Samaria one time that we know of, went back to Galilee, went down to Judea. And now Jesus is saying to his disciples, guys, you're out of here. You're going all over the place. How can I do that? I'm afraid. I don't know if I can do that. I don't think I can do that. I don't know how to do this. How can I do this? Hamburger, French fries, Coke. That's all I know. I can't do this. Can't go. You didn't even go. I can't go. But no, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And by his mighty power, it's not you, it's not me, it's not us. We can't. But greater is he that is in us, and he can. And he wants to, and he will by his grace. I think of those three Hebrew children. They're in the book of Daniel. You remember them? I like those guys. Shadrach, Meshach,
and Abednego.
You got it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those three boys, they would not bow the knee. You know the story. I don't even have to tell you. They would not bow the knee down. They would not bow when that music played and the sambat and all those other fancy instruments that they list there in Daniel. They started in and they just stood their ground. And you remember they got hauled in for it. We'll give you one more shot at this if you don't bow the knee. You know, I don't know. What's going to happen to us? I don't know. I'm not looking forward to any persecution like that. I'm not looking, but things are changing. And there are many people in many places in the world where they have to suffer for righteousness' sake. And how do they do it? How do they do that? I think there's a power that's in them. He's with them, even to the end of the age. I'm never going to leave you. You can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I don't know how those three Hebrews did it back in that Old Testament day, but they said, I don't care, King, we're not going to bow the knee. We're not going to bow the knee because our God is able to deliver us from that fiery furnace. And if not, crispy critters or whatever, so be it. And it doesn't matter. We don't care. To be absent from the body is
present with the Lord.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I could go back to my, it's a great day. I'm going to see Jesus today. Maybe that's what Abednego said to Shadrach. I don't know. But whatever it was, whether we're here or whether we're there or whether he takes us or whether we go through this thing, it doesn't matter. And so there they went into the midst of that fiery furnace. You remember what happened to the guys that threw them in? And here the three men are standing there and the king's peering in. And he said, wait a minute. Eins, zwei, drei. You know what that is?
One, two, three.
Uno, dos, tres. How do you say in Russian? Who? Yeah, that. One, two, three, but no, one, two, three, no, I, do, tre, or whatever it is. But there's a quattro there. There's another one. You remember the king said, I see, didn't we throw, how many we throw? We threw three in. I see four. And the fourth, looks like the Son of God is walking with them right there. Right in the midst of the five, it looks like the Son of God is right there. Is that a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus? Is that a theophany? I don't know. You can figure that out. If anybody with the brain, I don't have much. But I don't know. It looks like the Son of God. You know, wherever you are and whoever you are and wherever you've been born and whatever circumstances you've had to face and whatever difficulties and trials you're going through in your life right now, preach to yourself. Jesus, you've promised that you're my helper. You're never going to leave me and you're never going to forsake me. There's a precious Son of God that's walking with me right in the midst of the fiery furnace. And Jesus, you can give me the faith that I need to hang on and to keep trusting in you. I believe you are with me, Lord. I put my confidence in your word. And I tell you, I believe that little bit of faith. What did Jesus pray for Peter? Peter was going to go through storms, difficulties, trials, tempests. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I have, what did he say, remember? I've prayed for you, Peter. And what did he pray? I pray, Peter, that you have a life, that you make a lot of money. And I pray, Peter, that you get married too. That you find a wife. You're going to have a line of people asking you how you pull that off, I'm telling you. Peter, I prayed for you that you never are sick a day. I don't think that's what he prayed. What does it say in the Bible? Peter, I've prayed for you that... Oh, Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not. Because even dear Peter, beloved Peter, even he face circumstances and situations just like you face and just like I face that are overwhelming, that I don't think I could face and I don't think you could face, and Peter couldn't either, but there's somebody, Jesus said, I'm praying for you. Wait a minute now. Jesus has said that to me and to you too, has he not? Yes. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Oh, is it possible that he goes before the Father's throne and he says, Lord, I pray for Frank that his faith fail not. I pray for Mr. Rangel here that his faith fail not. I pray for Ernie that his faith fail not. Father, I pray for, pray for this guy that his faith fail not. He does that for you and for me too. And I want to say amen, Lord. Lord, I want that little faith like a grain of mustard seed, just a little bit of faith. It's all you need is a little faith, just like a grain of mustard seed. In the promises and in the word of God and when he's promised that he's with us, I believe you, Lord. Yes. I believe that you are. I have confidence that you're never going to leave me. I asked my wife, Joyce, I said, Joyce, did you marry me for my personality? She didn't answer. I said, did you marry me for my muscles? Why is everybody laughing? She didn't laugh. She just didn't say anything. I said, did you marry me for my money? Then she laughed. No. She said, Ernie, I married you for your mind. It's the little things that count. Thank you, dear. It is the little things that count. Do you have a little bit of faith? Do you have a little bit of faith? I'm not asking you if you have great faith, if you have big, big faith, if you have a gift of faith. I'm not asking you that. Do you have a little bit of faith in Jesus Christ and in his promise to you. And in his word, when he says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you to the very end of the age. I'm going to walk with you in the fiery furnace. I'm going to walk with you in the good times. I'm going to walk with you in the bad times. I'm going to walk with you all through life, and one day I'm going to receive you into glory. You got a little bit of faith tonight that says, oh, Lord, I believe that. And I can believe that enough to even preach it to myself. Lord, I can say with confidence, boldly, I will not fear what man can do to me. I will not fear the battle. I will not fear the circumstances that I'm in, as untoward as they might be. I will not fear because you're with me. And you're with me to the very end of the age. Oh, I don't know. I wish I could ordain every one of you tonight to be a preacher. And just to preach this to yourself day by day. Jesus, you're with me. Jesus, you're in me. If he is. And I believe that for most, if not all of you that are here tonight, we've been washed in the blood. We've been born again. Jesus Christ is in us. He's given us new life. And he wants us to live this life that we live in this world by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and who gave himself for us. And so today and tomorrow, and when you get back home, wherever home is for you, and whatever you face throughout the days of your life, take a little tip from Oprah if you have to. Never stop preaching to yourself. But make sure you're preaching the right message. Find something from the Bible, like Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, and say with confidence, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. No more need fear. And no more need doubting. No more need pride control in my life. That's my default setting. That's where I always go to. I'm afraid. No more need fear. Oh, I'm not sure if that's really true. I'm not really sure that's really... I know that's what the Bible... But I'm not really sure. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Lord, I believe your word. I believe it even as you have spoken it to me. And you begin to, with confidence, put your trust and your faith in the word of God. You'll find that he does have a wonderful plan for your life. You'll find that it will be exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. You will find that it is glory just to walk with him. Believe me. No, don't believe me. Believe the word of God. He's promised it, and he's also able to perform. And tonight, I can take the life of victory. Not I, but Christ himself in me. He conquers. He conquers my fears. He conquers my doubts. He conquers my past. He conquers the obstacles that are before me and in my way. He conquers now, and he sets me free. And I take, and he gives the victory. And we thank you tonight, Lord Jesus. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that we can boldly say tonight, every one of us here, you are our helper. You are our strength. You are our life. You are our all. And Lord Jesus, we thank you, Jesus, for your promise to us that you will never leave us. Lord, maybe there are some here that feel as if you've left, you've gone. You haven't gone anywhere. Maybe we've gone, but you haven't, Lord. Lord, you are faithful. We read that's a trustworthy saying in Timothy. That's a trustworthy saying that you will not deny yourself. And if we're unfaithful, you'll remain faithful. And Lord, we thank you for your promises, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray tonight that you will give us all the help that we need, yea, the boldness that we need, to confidently say, you are our strength, you are our helper. And that, Lord, we would take the life of victory. We would take Christ tonight as our own life and live by the life of Jesus within us. Lord, I pray that you'll help all of us. Lord, whatever our need, whatever our burden, whatever our trial, whatever our situation, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that the blessed Son of God is walking with us there, not by might, not by power, but Lord, by your Spirit, this mountain shall be removed. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we, with you, by our God, we can run through a troop. By our God, we can leap over the wall. Oh, Lord Jesus, you are mighty, you are strong, you are great, and you are ours, and we are yours. And we pray, Lord, that the light would shine more and more in our souls and in our hearts. Dear Lord, I pray, dear Father, where we're, oh, we can't, and oh, it's hard, and it's too difficult, and you don't know my school, or you don't know my job, and you don't know where I come from. Lord, I want to get to know my God who's able. I want to get to know my God who's sufficient, whose strength is made perfect in weakness, so that we even can glory in our infirmity, that your power may rest upon us. And Lord, with confidence again, we can boldly say, you are my helper. Oh, dear Lord, make preachers out of every one of us. And may we preach to ourselves and talk to ourselves and give us faith to believe that word of faith that's in our mouth, that word of faith which we preach. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.